As near as I can tell, we didn't have the error problem in Sunday school last week that we did in the morning service. So today we're going to look at the heavenly New Jerusalem, and we're going to go inside of it today. But first, let's bow before the Lord. Our Father, we do thank you for the spiritual food that you give us through your word, and we'd ask as we partake in your word that we allow this mental food to nourish our spiritual life, and we thank you for that. Amen. The overall context of the heavenly New Jerusalem has two things. One is it's always in the heavens. Secondly, according to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we even now are supposed to be anticipating, actually the word is strongly seek, this heavenly New Jerusalem. Now, you've heard this from me 100 times, but I love repeating it. If I should happen, I'll use myself, to go home to be with the Lord prior to the rapture, I'll get to see the construction of this New Jerusalem. If we all go in the air together, we will see this for 7 years in a completed form, and then we will reside in it for 1,000 years. So it's a very important thing in our a very important place in our future. It's not all of our future, it's just part of our future. And it's something that we're told in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that we are to anticipate. I'm going to do a quick review, and I think I listed it that way, so that we can see the dimensions outside. And then we're going to go inside the city today. Before I forget, the chapter divisions in the Bible are not inspired. It works out over in the Psalms that little italicized stuff right before verse 1, that is inspired. The numbers aren't inspired of the Psalms, or even the order. However, and in the New Testament, primarily we're speaking today, chapter 22 should start at the 6th verse of chapter 22, because the first 5 verses go back to the 21st chapter. We'll get in that later today. But just in quick review, we're not going to use verses. They're all in chapter 21, verses 9 through the end of the chapter. We saw that from the bottom that this city is like a square when John is looking up from a mountain on earth. This city is 1,400 miles on either side. And this is not a square, this is a rectangle, but it represents a square because it's the same on all sides. We also saw, let me see if I can, that the, and we extrapolated this, that's not working for me. We extrapolated the fact that this pyramid shape makes sense. Now, this is an extrapolation. We don't have a verse for this. Makes sense because the throne has to be the highest thing, the heights in Isaiah 14 in this structure. So nothing can be up to the apex, and that this seems to represent what we see in Scripture. So that's the one thing we did extrapolate. The sides are around 1,400 miles on each side. It's 1,400 miles high. So it's a pretty big edifice in terms of human dimensions. The walls we saw, we have these colors all laid out and then run around. The walls we saw are 216 feet, if I remember, and they come down, and in these walls there are gates. Now remember, you and I, the bride of Christ, at this point, will have glorified bodies. However, we have to keep in mind the fact that there are going to be two kinds of bodies existent at that time. On earth, you're going to have people who come through the tribulation and go into the millennium alive, and they do not have glorified bodies. They're going to propagate. I've shown you a little bit of that. We'll get into that more. And you're going to also have on earth resurrected Old Testament saints going back to Abraham. David will be there. So the people that I'm going to be talking about that come from earth today, we're going to look at the that come from earth up to the New Jerusalem, are the mortals. I don't know about whether glorified people come up there or not. Now, the word mortal means subject to death. We who are going to be in the New Jerusalem will not be subject to death. So a lot of what I'm going to show you today is not for us, but it's something that we will observe. So on these gates then, we've seen that there are the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of the man called Israel. That's why it's Israel. And these 12 tribes are going to be the access, and they're guarded by angels. We saw that the transportation for mortals coming from earth up there is going to be by Jacob's ladder. The dream showed angels going up, angels coming down. Now, the politicians have long sought for urbanization to have rapid transit. This is the greatest rapid transit that ever existed. And the angels are going to bring mortals up into this city. We're going to see why they go into the city today. Now, the next thing in review is that underneath the wall is a foundation. Now, this foundation has 12 layers representing the 12 apostles to the church. This foundation is a reverse prison. I showed you verses in Ezekiel and in Revelation where the light, the Shekinah glory light that comes out from both the Son and the Father is multifaceted. It has many colors. So to get those, and that is in the spirit realm. I haven't found the exact terminology I want for this, but God's light that he dwells in now is not physical. What this foundation does is it takes non-physical, I know there's a better term than that, ethereal, it takes non-physical light and turns it into the physical, because the light that comes from the New Jerusalem is going to light the earth. That's in the last two verses of the 21st chapter. That's the foundation. Now remember one more thing and then we'll get into some new material. The second thing is, and I'm going to use the Father, is the light within the city. We saw that and we're going to see that again today. The Son's light, the Son who is at the right hand of the Father on the Father's throne up here, the Son's light is the light that's going to come to the earth. That's in the last two verses of the 21st chapter. Now, today, no, I'm wrong. I just stated the wrong verse. It's the at the bottom of the page on mine. Let me get the exact verse. It's 21 and 22, if I recall correctly. Yes, it's 23 and 24. That's not the last of the... Just to give you, so you can see I'm not completely lost it. It's at the bottom of the page, but there is some more of the chapter that goes up to the next column. Okay, now we're going to deal then with verse 23 of the first, 21st chapter, because now we're going to go inside this city and we're going to see some things inside the city. Now the first thing you need to know, or keep, one thing you got to keep in mind is that there are mortals. There are people who are subject to life. You need that in the back of your mind all day today. There are people who are subject to death, or, yeah, subject to death. That's what mortal means on earth. And these people who are subject to death on earth are going to have some rules concocted for them. And we're going to go inside the city, and we're going to see some things inside the city. Okay, verse 25, chapter 21 of Revelation. And the gates, that's of this city. Remember, I didn't draw them back up here. But let's go ahead and put them back in. Remember, they're shaped like pearls. Oh, and if let's go ahead and, I didn't develop that last week. Where are they? Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, the reason for that is, the shape of it from the side is like a round, but if you're looking up, like John is looking up, the light kind of bulges out. You know how light does? Where it first comes out, it's a little bit different next to the bulb, not next to the source. So if you were looking from the side, it kind of looks like it is going out in that direction too. So it looks spherical even from the side. But it's just an open space. But the reason it's called a pearl is because the light is shooting out. Because remember, you have two sources of light in here. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every gate as a one pearl. And that's the part we wanted to emphasize on the gates. Now that brings us down to verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day. Well, that's because down in verse 23, there's not going to be day or night in this city. Why? Because as it circles the earth, it's going 24/7. And we do have indications that it's still going to be a 360 some day year, and it's still going to be 12. We know it's going to still be 12 months of the year. So it's going to simulate some of the timing we still have now. Verse 25, shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. And there is in the city. Verse 26, and by the way, this is a verse that's going to clear up Matthew for you, or at least one verse in Matthew. And they shall bring the glory and honor. Now the word honor, let's go back to verse 24, the last part. I forgot to read that. Let's read verse 24. And the nations cross out of them which are saved. This is talking about on earth, verse 23, shall walk in the light of it, the city. And the kings of the earth, so we're down on earth with mortals here, shall bring their glory. And in some translations, you don't have the word honor here. It should be there. I looked it up again in the text. They think, some people think they copied it from verse 26, and it's a repeat, but it should be there. And honor to it, the city. So mortals, here's what we have so far. Mortals from earth are going to bring something up there, physically bring something up. Now the word honor here has the idea of value or tribute. What do you give to a king? You give them tribute. Now, before we go any farther, keep your finger here and go with me back to Ezekiel 47. This is similar but not the same because this is the nation Israel. Page 895, Ezekiel 47. No, that's not it. That's the wrong. Isaiah 65. Let's do Isaiah 65. Yeah, that's, I want Ezekiel later. Isaiah 65. Now this is the nation Israel. But this gives you a concept of how things operate during the millennium. In the millennium, there's not going to be commerce because remember one part of the world system is commerce. Deacon David trades security for monetary reimbursement, takes that to the store. That's commerce. Deacon Dan trades pipes, only they're plastic now, and their fittings for a symbol of money, which I never can look at that paper and figure out why it's worth something, but that's another story. For a symbol of money, and then he trades it for something. You can't do that during the millennium. This is the verse. Isaiah 65, verse 22. And they shall not build and another inhabit. There's not going to be any contractors who will trade their contracting ability for food or for anything else. Now why? They shall not plant. And another eat. So you're not going to have farmers that take their, there's not going to be a farmer's market. That's commerce. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So here's what, this is the nation Israel, but I think the concept, this is a good explanation of how the millennium is. Everybody's going to be self-sufficient. Self-sustainable. It won't happen till then, but it'll happen then. And the reason for that is one of the devices or elements of the world system is commerce, and that's going to be completely destroyed. So, if you have a vineyard and you raise more grapes than you need, what do you do with them? If you have corn and there's extra, and you have the natural human tendency to collect extra. If you went in my garage, you would notice that there's 4 cases of TP out there. That's just the natural human tendency. Well, God has already planned that ahead of time. Turn back to Revelation, the 21st chapter. I forgot to tell you to put your bulletin there. The 21st chapter and the 27th verse. 26th verse. And they shall bring honor and a glory and honor to it. Now the word honor could be translated tribute or things of value. Keep your hand here because we're coming back and go over to Matthew the 6th chapter. Matthew the 6th chapter, and you'll see, now remember in Matthew, this is what people don't get. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Christ is giving the rules for the kingdom, which was rejected. How do you know the nation Israel rejected the kingdom of God? Because when they hung him on the cross, he was mocked with a sign, here is the king of the Jews. Now that obviously meant as king of the Jews, he was rejected. But these are the rules that will be implemented when he forcibly sets up his kingdom. And we're in Matthew 6, and I'm just going to skip to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure. Now this is the word treasure. What is treasure? Treasure is excess goods. How do you get treasure? Well, if you need 100 bushels of corn for your family, and you get 200 bushels of corn, the extra 100 bushels you trade for treasure. That's how it's extra. Okay, treasure is extra. Do not lay up for yourself treasure upon earth. Now, what's not said there? Where's the treasure? Where are you not to have treasure? On earth. Stay with me. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But, verse 20, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Now I would take that to be the new Jerusalem. Now let's go back to Revelation, the 21st chapter, and the 26th verse. And they shall bring their honor or tribute of the nations to the city. So here's what we have, putting them together. On Jacob's ladder, particularly the kings of all the different countries, the leadership, will have to take the excess goods up into this New Jerusalem via Jacob's ladder and deposit it here. What happens in there, I don't know. I don't have verses. I could give you some guesses. But as this goes up here, then when you're on, go back to earth, where is your heart? What is this? Your heart's up there. That's what it says over in Matthew. I didn't read that part, did I? Matthew 6, I'll read it for you. I left that part up. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So one of the things, now this is, I think this is a real, it's really called epic irony. It's a real salt in the wound to unsaved kings, who we know we're going to be unsaved after the first generation, who have to bring this tribute up there, and they have to admit that there's the ruler. And then they come back here, and boy, I wish I had that extra stuff that's up there. You see how God is going, God the Son and Father are going to get, they're going to get recognized even by those that don't want to act recognized. And I left out that word, that one verse. You look at it on your own, it's over in Matthew 6. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. So if they had their treasure down here, where would, on earth, where they're told not to have it? Now, I know everybody makes this metaphoric, but I take it as literal. If their treasure was down here, what would they do? They would go to their safe, open it up, look at it every now and then. You know, you've seen Scrooge on Bugs Bunny. One of those. How he goes and counts his money all the time. Well, that affection, that emotion, that intellectual understanding that it's there is going to be focused up into the third, up into the second heaven in this city. So the first thing then that we see today that's inside this city is tribute is being brought up into this city. Let's go on to chapter 22. Now, if you mark in your Bible, I haven't done this, but I should, except I know it in my mind. Chapter 21 should go through the first five verses of chapter 22. It's a bad chapter division. Now, here's the reason I'm saying that. Let's look at just the... Well, let's go... Keep your finger here, and let's go back to chapter 21 and verse... the last part of verse 9. The angel says to John, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then he starts describing the city. How is he describing the city in most of chapter 21? From the outside. The last part of chapter 21, he starts going inside with the tribute. Now chapter 22, which is a bad chapter division, is inside the city. Go back to chapter 22 and look at the last part of verse 3. The Lamb shall be in it, the city, and his servants shall priestly serve him. That's a priestly service. Stick that in your mind. Now we have the answer that's over in chapter 21, verse 9. First John describes where the bride is, the outside. He starts to describing where the bride is inside, and then he tells you that the bride's in there. You got to get that. So from the earthly point of view, he sees the outside, starts to go inside, and once he goes inside, then you see the bride. And that's the servants that priestly serve him. Now, how do we know that? Keep your finger here and go back to chapter 1 of Revelation. You have this also in Peter, but in chapter 1 of Revelation, and I believe it's verse 9. And I, John, chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in the tribulation, even kingdom of patience by Jesus Christ was in... No, that's not the one I want. I want the one... Well, let's go over the fourth chapter. We can get it there. Fifth chapter. Go over the fifth chapter of John. And we want verse 10. Fifth chapter of John, verse 10. And hath made us. You see, John, I'm in the fifth chapter of Revelation, verse 10. John's including himself. What did I say? John is talking. Fifth chapter of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10. Okay, yeah, I found that other verse too. Revelation 5:10, and hath made us, John, in unto our, including John, the God, and it should read, kingdom of priests, or priests consisting of kingdom, and we shall reign over the earth. Go back to the first chapter, verse 6. First chapter of John, verse 6. And hath made us, John including himself, kings and priests. You see the priest there? Now go back to the 22nd chapter. We're seeing who's in this city. The 22nd chapter, the last part of verse 3, and his servants who shall priestly serve him. So here's what we have. 21st chapter looks at the outside, starts to go inside, and once he goes inside, that's where he sees the bride. And the bride is the church. Now let's go back to chapter 22 of Revelation to verse 2. Verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water consisting of life. There is no verse that tells us what this means. But we can put on our thinking cap and figure out a little something. One is, it's not talking about physical life, because that's going to come down in verse 2. So it has to be talking about that if somebody partakes of this water. Let's read the whole verse. And he showed me a pure river of water consisting of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now remember, the Lamb sits on the right hand of the Father. What would this be? It means if somebody drinks on it, if you're a mortal, now you should have this answer in your mind after we've gone over it 100 times. If you're mortal and you look up in this city, can you see God the Father and God the Son? No, because mortals can't see that light. If you're a mortal and you partake of that water and it comes from the throne, what are you saying? That you believe that that is God up there. Now, it works out, we haven't got there, that the plan of salvation during the millennium for mortals is that they believe God dwells up there and rules. Remember during the nation Israel, all they had to believe is, yes, God dwells below the cloud during the day and the fire during the pillar of fire at night. And, you know, if I saw a pillar of fire, I'd know something was under it. But it takes supernatural enabling to believe that. So during the millennium, if a person goes up here, this is extrapolation. If a person goes up here and partakes of this water crystal clear that's described as a river, now it's coming from the throne, so it has to come down one side. We'll add to that in just a minute. It would signify that you understand God dwells up here. Because they're not going to be able to see Him. Now remember, that's 1 Timothy 6:16, where no human being that is mortal can look upon the light of God. That's why you have the foundation for the mortals down here on earth and the plants. Okay, verse 2. And in the midst of it, a street thereof. Now remember that street back up on 21 of the previous chapter is one street and it's gold. Now we would say, now this isn't gold color, that this street is going to go around and service these 12 gates that are out here, and then it's going to go up, and we're going to see it's associated with the river. It's actually on both sides of the river. Now, whether the river goes around down here, I don't know. I don't have an explanation. Verse 2, and in the middle of the street of it, and on either side of the river. So you have, let's start picturing that out. You have the river. You have the river in the center. And then you're going to have the street of gold is going to be on both sides. We're going to have something else that goes in there too. I shouldn't have used green for that. But it's all representative, so it doesn't matter. And in verse 2, and in the middle of the street there on either side of the river was the, now you have in the King James, the tree of life. Since there's plural, and it shouldn't be, it's a quality, cross out the, a quality of the tree of life. Now that means that on the side then of these river, you have these trees that are come before the street on each side. You have a, in Portland, I remember in San Francisco, it's Divisadero, but in Portland, down there by the, where they always riot, where the museum is and the Snitz and all that, there's, isn't there a street that has grass in the middle and then it has streets that goes, or it has streets that go down both sides? That's kind of what's being pictured here in this concept. But I want to talk about the tree of life for just a moment. The tree of life has importance to us now. If you'll turn back to the second chapter of Revelation and the seventh verse, I'll show you. This verse is one of the most powerful verses. That was so nice of you. Thank you, my friend. My nephew, grand-nephew. See, I know my thing. Okay, in the second chapter in the seventh verse, this is one of the most powerful verses to prove, and I use Paul as an example, that people who go home to be with the Lord prior to the rapture have a body that is two things, is mortal, because they don't have a glorified body, but in fact does allow them to express their personhood. Now, to the churches and to those who are saved, God promises in verse 7, he that hath an ear, now, if you should already know, because we say it 100 times, who has an ear? Only those who are saved, and really, quite frankly, those who are saved in right relationship to the Father, who can have an ear of the Holy Spirit to teach them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, see there it is, the Spirit says unto him, unto the churches, to him that overcometh. You're an overcomer if you're saved because you've overcome the world already, and you have the potential in the present to overcome the sin nature, and you will in the future. To him that overcomer, you know what the word for overcomer is? Nike. Okay. Victor. And to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Why? That has to be a promise to mortals. You will not be mortal when you get your glorified body at the rapture. Now we know that the tree of life is at the edge of the second and third heaven. So just very quickly, I don't want to get sidetracked. What happens is that the fruit from the tree of life, which we'll look at in a minute, is brought by angels up into the third heaven to people like Paul. Apparently on a regular basis. And Paul partakes of it. It's one of the many activities that keep them busy for 2,000 years. And trust me, they got so much activity up there, it's going quick. It's going quick. And one of the things is watching the New Jerusalem being constructed. Now, as a human, if you were watching 1,500 square miles, do you imagine how many? No, it's more than 1,500 on one part of the square. That would be like walking to Denver. No, got to Des Moines, 1,500 miles down to the panhandle of Texas, and coming back over to San Diego and back. It would be a lifetime adventure just looking at this city as a finite, non-glorified being. So Paul's being busy. This is, trust me. And one of the things is that Paul has had an intermediate temporary body for 2,000 years, and the reason it's lasted 2,000 years is he gets to eat of the tree of life. Now, how do I know what the tree of life does? Now, keep the two lives separate. The tree of life is physical life. The river of living life is spiritual life. Now, here's how we know. Go back to Genesis, the third chapter. Now, God said, now this is, I've had people's eyes get bugged when I say this, so I want you to just, that's a really nice significant picture you have on. Oh, I thought it was the state of Texas. Hey, this guy comes to my house. You were there. And he has this bucket in the back of his car, and it had the state of Texas. So I grabbed it and said, this is mine. And then I smelled it and I gave it back to him. It smelled like a skunk. I think we were, oh yeah, the tree of life. The tree of life, let me say it this way. This has caused a lot of problems, so I got to be very careful with this. Because people go, well, God made them start to die. No, he said that they would die after they fell physically. They would already be dead spiritually, separated from God, and they would begin to die physically because of Adam's sin and Eve's fall. The way God does it is he doesn't zap them. This verse tells you how God started the life cycle. And this is the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, Adam, man should be translated Adam until the fifth chapter, about the fifth verse. Behold, Adam has become as one of us. Now, do you see how the language allows for three persons of the Godhead in the Old Testament? Now, just as an aside, a Hebrew scholar in the Old Testament will say, well, that's the royal first person plural. But we know, looking from the New Testament over, that means all three persons. Okay? Let us, the Lord God said, behold, Adam is become as us, to know what brings happiness and what brings calamity. Remember, Adam was created as a full mature man physically, but he didn't have life experiences. So God, the Son, in pre-incarnate form, would walk with him on a regular basis and tell him, do this and it'll make you happy. Don't do that because it'll cause problems. Now, instead of using God's criteria, after he falls, whose criteria is Adam going to use? Adam's. That's called the sin nature. Now, and now, middle verse, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and keep on eating, in the original, keep on eating and live and be living forever. So if Adam hadn't been kicked out of the garden, he'd still be here. Now that tells us why the tree of life, go back over to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, that tells us why the tree of life is in the New Jerusalem. Now, what is happening here? God the Father and God the Son have a plan that these recalcitrant, remember after the first generation, you will have recalcitrant, unsaved human beings on earth. And God has designed a program where they have to not only bring up tribute and have their allegiance up here instead of down here, physically, oh, I wish I had that extra TP that I had to take up there. Sit in my garage. Now, they also are going to have to focus other things up there. Now, let's go back to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, if you want any proof of why the first five verses are kingdom during the thousand-year reign, it's right in verse 3. The little phrase, no more curse. The curse is lifted during this thousand-year reign of Christ. The tree of life, right in the middle of verse 2 then, is to sustain successive generations who are born with mortal bodies and those who come into the kingdom at the beginning with unglorified mortal bodies. They will have the potential to live 1,000 years if they go up Jacob's ladder and eat of the tree of life. That's physical life. That's the reason that the river of life or water of life probably has to be representing spiritual life. Okay, let's look at the tree of life again in verse 2. In the midst of the street thereof and on either side of the river was a quality of the tree of life, because there's multiple ones, which bear 12 manner of fruit. And yielded her fruit each month. And now we want to stop there. So it looks like the way the language here is that if you want to live 1,000 years, you have to go up there every month. Eat of the tree, come back down, go back up every month. Now there is going to be provisions in the millennium that if you do certain things, you don't get to go up there, and then you're going to be subject to the life cycle. Over in the book of Isaiah, it says you get 100 years to figure that all out. You can go up there until you're 100, but after you're 100, there's a certain rules that you have to follow or you're not going up there. So the tree of life, then, they will have to eat of the fruit every month. Now let's keep reading. Last part of verse 2. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So there will be no doctors during the millennium. Now, this is very important. This means that if you're a Gentile and something goes wrong, you cut yourself, whatever, when you're plowing or whatever, you fall, you have to go up here to get healed. So there's three reasons that even an unsaved person will want to go up here. One is they want to keep living. One is they want to get medicine. And the third one is that they need to bring tribute, because anything extra is going up here. You have a contrast here. Do you know? I want you to look at the last word of verse 2. That means no non-Jews. Turn now. Here's where Ezekiel 47 comes in. You're going to have a different provision for the Gentiles. Now remember that there's an earthly New Jerusalem, which also has a river coming out of it. The river in the earthly New Jerusalem is going to start from underneath the sanctuary, and it's going to come south, and then it's going to curve. One part of it is going to go over to the Dead Sea is now, and the other part is going to go out to where the Mediterranean is. Now speaking of that river, in chapter 47 of Ezekiel, page 895, in verse 12, we read, by the river upon the bank thereof, and on the side of, and on this side and on that side, shall grow trees for food, not meat, for food, whose leaf will not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be completely consumed, is the idea. In other words, you could just keep picking all day, but keep in mind, you can't get extra. But all the people that come here could just eat and eat and eat, and the thing is still fruitified. And it shall bring forth new fruit according to its month, through the month. So it's going to have a monthly fruit. Now here it's for food. What is the fruit for in the New Jerusalem? It's for physical life. Keep going. Because there are waters that issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit of the tree shall be for food, and the leaf there for medicine. Now there's a difference here. This is for the Jews. Remember that verse 2, the last word in Revelation 22, is Gentiles. So the nation Israel has been purified. No problems there. Even with the successive generations, there's going to be less problems. There's going to be different rules for Jews and Gentiles. We won't get there yet. But the thing is that the Jews don't have to go up here. They will, the ones that are mortal will have to go up here to get the tree of life. But to be healed, they have their own healing right here in the new Jerusalem here on earth. So there's a similarity. Now, the reason I show you this is people blend the two. They're different. Remember, this is 1,400 miles. The earthly Jerusalem is 9 square miles, 9 on each side of the square. The earthly New Jerusalem doesn't have the tree of life, but it does have leaves from a tree that is a medicine which heals, but it's for the Jews, and the one up in the third heaven is for the Gentiles. Let's see, I think we've got most everything that's in there. You have quite a bit of things that are going on now in the heavenly New Jerusalem. I do not believe that this river starts until after the tribulation, when both persons of the Father and the Son take residency here. During the tribulation, both the Father and the Son will be resident in the third heaven. Remember, this is going to come out of the third heaven. And so, there we have it. Okay, so that's the heavenly New Jerusalem, Lord willing, and things work out. Well, next week, we'll look at some of the governmental issues that happen during the tribulation. I've thought about this over the years for many, many times. And I think most of the rules that we'll see are going to be for the Jews. I'm not sure what the Gentiles' rules are, but they'll be different. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the people. Amen.